I welcome every one of you to Bible study tonight. We have barely an hour for Bible study, so please adjust your timing, your timer. I want us to pay attention because this topic that we're dealing with has the tendency to change your life forever. It's all important. After that, you have given your heart to Jesus, after you have become born again, you need to learn this. You need to learn to be led by the Spirit of God. If you are not led by the Spirit of God, the danger is you cannot boldly say that you're a child of God. And you don't want to risk that. You don't want to risk when Jesus comes and then, oh, I'm not a child of God. No, you don't want to risk that. In Romans 8 and verse 14, it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. So you want to be sure that you are led by the Spirit of God. He said, they are the sons of God. Not as many as pray. Not as many as read their Bible. Even though prayer is very good, reading your Bible is excellent. Not as many as attend church. They are the sons of God. No. Not as many whose parents are pastors. No. He said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it is the hallmark of a son of God to be led by their father, to be led by God. In the process, I'll be teaching us the primary ways that God leads us in the New Testament, but I'm still preparing the ground for that. I can mention it. Number one actually is the inward witness, but I'm not there yet. We're still preparing the ground for what is known as the inward witness. Before we go on to other areas, other means through which the Lord leads the church in the New Testament. After the inward witness, then you can talk about our conscience, which is the voice of our born-again spirit. That thing that checks you. That thing that tells you, no, 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 what you're about to say is a lie. Don't lie. And when you do lie, in spite of your conscience, it will keep telling you have told a lie. And that is not right. Now, the danger of that is if you keep lying against your conscience, as your conscience is warning you, don't lie, and then you lie. Another time, your conscience will warn you, you want to lie again, don't lie, oh, and then you lie. And then you, even though you are born again, you speak in tongues. Maybe you even read the Bible, you pray in the Holy Ghost, you pray out loud, but you keep lying. You keep lying. You keep lying. Now, the danger is 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Let me show you that very quickly. Then I'll back up to what I want to quickly share. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul was writing this to Timothy. He said, let me take it from verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times, that is in the last days where we are right now, he said, some shall depart from the faith. So you see, some people will start from the faith, but they will depart from the faith. And there are many people today who have departed from the faith. People are still looking at them as believers, as Christians, as born again. But in their heart, they have departed from the faith. Now, he said, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Now, they'll be paying attention to spirits that offer them things that they want to hear. Spirits that seduce them. You know, when they say someone is being seduced, a man can seduce a woman can seduce a man. Normally, when you want to seduce someone, if it's a man, for example, you massage his ego. You look at something that he happens to, maybe something he does well, and so you exaggerate it. You know, the way you speak, you're just the best speaker in the world. I just like to, when I'm listening to you, it's like I should just be eating your words. Oh, wow, really? Now, he's getting into trouble gradually because now you're getting into his mind. His head is swelling and it's getting bigger than the normal size. And then you can go on and on and tell him how handsome he looks and how nice he smells and all of that and all of that. And it's a process. And you keep working on him until finally both of you land somewhere that you're not supposed to land. Now, it's a process. That's seduction. In the things of the spirit, people also listen to, in fact, we need to be very careful. We need to be extremely careful because this is one area where the devil slide tackles many Christians. He will tell you, you know, you're just such a powerful man of God. When you pray, the whole church shakes. Do you know that without you, the prayer life of that church is really going to be somehow, because you're not even sure that your pastor is praying. Now you're getting into trouble. Don't you notice that every time you lead prayer, people fall under the anointing? When your pastor leads prayer, nobody falls. But the moment you lead prayer, and then you give it a thought, oh, really? Oh, really? And then you begin to look in that direction and begin to think like that. You have been seduced. You have been seduced. Now, seduction itself is not yet seen. It's still a process leading somewhere. You can abort it. But if you allow it, you listen to it, you accept it, then you are definitely heading to sin and then to destruction. The Bible says, Paul said here, that many will be giving heed to seducing spirits. In other words, they will be listening for what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. Not what they need to hear, but what they want to. And today, in many churches, I tell you, they are telling people what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. How many people are still pretty much tough and hard when it comes to the area of holiness? When it comes to the area of sanctification? Holiness without which no man shall see God. He didn't say speaking in tongues without which no man shall see God. He didn't say eloquence without which no man can see God. He didn't say prosperity without which no man can see God. If that's the situation, then most of us are done for. He said holiness. People don't talk about it because they don't want to offend the church. They don't want people to leave the church. If you tell them the truth now, they may not come again. No. Oh, really? So, seducing spirits. Now, in the same vein, he said, and doctrines of devils. Can you beat this? That a time is coming, and now is, that there will be doctrines manufactured by devils being perpetrated by pastors. Doctrines of devils. Devils are evil spirits. And they can come up with nice cliches that would look scriptural. And they can even add a little bit, twist the scripture, add it to it, and then people buy it. And then it goes viral. That's why you need to be careful about what goes viral. Before you adopt anything, even if it's a cliche, a slang, or a spiritual quote, please check it first. Check it from the Word of God. Does the Bible say it? Does it agree with the Bible before you join people to begin to say it? Because there are doctrines of devils. Paul said this, and he wrote this to the church. He wrote this to Timothy, the pastor of the largest church in the world at that time. He said, this is going to happen. He didn't write this to unbelievers. In other words, expect that this will happen in the church. There'll be doctrines of devils. If it is labeled a doctrine of devils, will anybody preach it? Come and talk to me, church. Will anybody imbibe it? Will you accept it? But it will never be labeled as a doctrine of devils. Because many of us are still expecting the devil to appear as the devil. He's just going to show up and with red and black and two horns on his head. If you see him as the devil, two things will happen, depending on who you are and the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Either you take authority over him, bind him and cast him out, which is proper for a child of God, or you see him and then you run away. But the devil doesn't come like that. It will never show up like the devil. So when his doctrines are being preached in the church, unless you are able to discern, unless you are led by the Spirit of God, unless you are full of the Holy Ghost yourself, you will not be able to discern that this is the doctrine of God and this is the doctrine of devils. 2 Corinthians, I'm coming back to 1 Timothy 4, but let's quickly backpedal to 2 Corinthians 11, 14. Let's see how Paul described the devil. 2 Corinthians 11, 14. Now, because many of us think that, oh, God is light, and then Satan is darkness, isn't it? 11, 14, did I say that? Yeah. 2 Corinthians 11, 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into what? An angel of darkness? Come on, talk to me, church. Because we grew up with the knowledge that, oh, God is light, Satan is darkness. Fa, 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 foul. God is light, Satan is another kind of light. Satan will never, even though he's the prince of darkness, he will never appear as darkness. Because if he does, you will run away. If he does, you will not hug him. You won't embrace him. You won't imbibe. You won't buy into what he's selling. So the confusion today that the average Christian has is that God is light. Yes, he can see that light. But then here is another light. He's expecting to see darkness, but he's seeing two lights. So how do I distinguish between this light and this light? How do I know? That's why, again, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to 1 Corinthians 12, that we should covet is the discerning of spirits. Discerning of spirit. Discerning means the ability to see into. To see into. Discerning of spirits, therefore, is the ability to see into the realm of the spirit. It's a gift of the spirit. And Paul encouraged us to covet. There are certain things to not covet. Don't covet material stuff that people have. Don't covet another person's wife, your neighbor's wife. She's not your wife, not your woman. Don't covet her. She has a fine shape. She's not your wife. Don't covet the things that people possess. Ah, I wish that was my car. And if I would do anything to get that car. Don't covet it. There is another thing to covet, the gift of the Spirit. If God bless them with that car, bless them with that house, bless them with the position they have right now, is he broke that he cannot bless you with yours? Come on, talk to me, church. So why not go to the source? Now, the Bible says very clearly here, it said, and no marvel. In fact, if you take it up one verse before, that same 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. It said, for such are false apostles. In other words, there are real apostles, but there are false apostles. Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. So there are people today with the title apostle, but they are not apostles of Christ. And he went further to say, don't be surprised that you have people like that in the world today. And some of them with large followership, large congregation. And that's why, again, you will be wrong to judge the authenticity of the call of God on a man by the size of his church or the size of his ministry. You will be wrong. You will be wrong. Because the man has, have you seen his followers online? Men, 500 million followers. Each time they broadcast like this, they have 1 billion views. And so, is the Lord interested in all of that? Oh, Gabriel, this guy got 1 billion views. My goodness. This must be my apostle. No. There was a time in the ministry of Jesus, everybody left. Remaining the 12 apostles, and he asked them, what are you waiting for? Are you also not going to leave? Peter said, where are we going to go to? We've left father, mother, wife, children, everything to follow you because only you have the words of eternal life. Where are we going? There's nowhere to go. We burnt our bridge. We burnt it so we cannot cross the river again. Listen up, church. You must follow Christ like that. Follow him. It will not be easy for you to backslide when you burn your bridge. The challenge with most of us today is that we have not burnt the bridge. So when it is convenient, you follow Christ. The day you are broke, no food, no money, nothing, you go back to the world. I said, look, this Christianity born again thing, I can't deal. When I was in the world, even when I was not born again, things were smoother for me. Yeah, things were smoother, appeared smoother, because the devil was feeding you, preparing you as a Christmas chicken. Nobody starves their Christmas chicken. You buy the chicken, you buy feed. You give it chicken feed, chicken feed. Chicken feed. The chicken in his mind is saying, oh, glory to God, this man really loves me. Oh, thank God I left that market. That market was horrible. They were not feeding me. They were feeding me once a day. But this one is feeding me three times a day. Why are you feeding your Christmas chicken? Come on, talk to me, church. You are preparing it for the day of slaughter. You want the guy to gather more flesh. Here comes December 24th, Christmas Eve. You sharpen your knife, you cut off its head. Throw it in hot water, pluck the feathers. Some of you don't know how to do those kind of things. And then you prepare it for the table and then for the tummy. Can I have an amen to that? Amen. That's why in the world, when you were not born again, you were having things so easy. You were swimming downstream. Those of you that swim, I'm not talking about swimming in the swimming pool. Those who have tried to swim before in a river, the way we grew up, was by swimming in the river. You swim, if you're swimming upstream, you will be swimming against the current, against the flow, against the waves, against so many things. The forces are against you. It's tough to swim upstream. But if you're going downstream, man, all you need to do is just glide. It is the water that will be carrying you. Easy. When a sinner has not found Christ, is swimming downstream. The moment a sinner finds Christ, he makes a U-turn to begin to swim upstream. Everything will go wrong. Everything will go against you. Every single thing. Somebody will not like you again in your place of work. Some of your friends will criticize you. Some of the people that used to deal with you will not deal with you anymore because something is now odd about you. But glory be to God. Jesus already warned us the pathway to heaven is narrow. And only a few have found it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Be careful of the broad way. Be careful of what is popular. Be careful about what is viral. Be careful about what is trending. Be careful about common cliches and statements that people make from church in the name of Christ. Christ might not be involved, though. Check everything vis-a-vis the word of God. I don't know why the mic is going off, but check everything vis-a-vis the word of God. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? Go back to my 1 Timothy 4. I've not forgotten what I was saying. I was talking to people that lie. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 2. Now, we have read verse 1. It says, and doctrines of devils, right? So, now you have an idea, doctrines of devils. Now, verse 2. Paul said to Timothy, he says, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Now, the danger is, the B part of it, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. When you tell lies consistently, and it becomes a lifestyle for you, a point is coming. You will lie. Your conscience will not judge you anymore. Your conscience will not condemn you anymore. Your conscience now cannot discern when you are speaking the truth and when you are lying. It's a dangerous place to be. When you still lie or you did something wrong or about to do something wrong and you are checked in your spirit, babe, you know that's not nice. That site you want to visit is not for children of God. That film you want to go and watch, you know is not right. I can't keep myself now. God understands I'm flesh and blood. I need it. I need to calm down. You are silencing your conscience. After you've done it, but you know what you did was wrong, what are you supposed to do? God will understand now. And then you go back there again and you do it. You keep lying. You keep telling lies. Maybe it's a small lie now. It's not big. Like, I got to work at 8 o'clock. Meanwhile, you got to work at 8:05. In fact, at 8:01, listen to me, Christian people, 8:01 is not the same as 8 o'clock. So if you got to work at 8:01 and you normally clock in or you normally write your register, write the time you got there, 8:01. Oh, you will lose 1,000 naira from your salary. So be it. God is watching. And some people are also watching. Unbelievers, naturally, even if they get there at 8:30, it's 8 o'clock. In as much as the boss has not arrived. That's the normal thing for them. Don't forget, they are swimming downstream. You are not swimming downstream. This is what makes the difference between a believer in a place of work and an unbeliever. You don't tell the truth only when it is convenient. You tell the truth even when it's going to hurt you. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is how you keep your conscience alive. Some people have so lied that they have killed their conscience, such that whatever lie they tell, their conscience will not tell them, will not judge them, will not condemn them, will not criticize them, will not do anything. It will just be as though they never said anything. When you carry hot plate or hot, what do you call that thing? Pot from the stove or from the burner with bare hands. Now, not many of you can try that. But some of our mothers did that. Like my mom, for example. My mom was an Ondo woman. She pounded yam every week. We ate pounded yam minimum twice every week. Once during the week, constant Sunday morning. Sunday morning, constant. Sunday morning, before going to church, you eat pounded yam. Your tummy was filled up. How we didn't sleep in church, I don't know. Anyway, we were much younger, so we were able to burn the calories and all that. Now, my mom was in the habit of carrying a pot of slices of yam to be pounded from the stove without gloves. Gloves? We didn't have gloves. And she didn't have the time to go and get a rag to get it from the fire. She would just go there, pick it from the fire, put it on the floor. Now, if we tried it, we would pour it on ourselves. Because touching the pot alone, you drop it immediately. And an accident would happen right there. So I used to look at the woman. What kind of woman is this? Wonder Woman. And then if she slapped you with those palms, you were really slapped. Something had gone wrong with her palm, the two palms. You know what had happened? Because of the consistent exposure to heat, those cells had been deadened. And because they had been deadened by the heat, no matter the amount of heat, she would put her hands, she would carry it without feeling the pain. We felt the pain. Because in our mind, as she carried it, we said, that was quite, it was uncanny, it was strange, weird. But she didn't feel anything. Because of constant exposure, constant lies, your conscience will become dead. That was what Paul was saying here. And one of the ways that God leads you, unfortunately for such people, one of the ways that God leads you is through your conscience. So you have blocked a channel through which God is going to lead you. If God is not able to lead you, then Satan will lead you. Because there is no vacuum in the realm of the spirit. Did you hear what I said? So, if you're going to do yourself a favor tonight, learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Because if you're not led by the Spirit of God, I tell you, Satan is an opportunist. He will get into the flow and lead you. So, as we prepare the ground, another way that God leads is through the voice of the Holy Spirit. Your conscience is the voice of your own born-again spirit. But there is another voice of the Spirit, which is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, the difference between the two voices is that the voice of the Holy Spirit is more authoritative. Authority. That's the Holy Spirit. He can tell you, like he said to Philip, join yourself to that chariot. Boom, you just know. This is the Holy Ghost. We'll get there and I'll give you more explanations. So, as we prepare the ground for the inward witness, which is the number one way and the most common way that the Lord Jesus, the head of the church, leads the church in this new covenant. We need to deal with our soul and deal with our body. Now, man is a spirit. Now, he has a soul. He's a spirit. So that spirit has a soul, and then it lives in a body. When you got born again, your spirit got born again. Eternal life came into your spirit. What's the meaning of eternal life? The nature of God came into your spirit, man. You were given the nature, the divine nature. That's why the Bible says that we are partakers of the divine nature. You see, in your spirit, you will discover that having been born again, there are certain things that you don't want to do anymore. You want to run away from them. Things that you used to enjoy. Like if you used to party hard, clubbing all night, you know, all night long, all night, and you drink alcohol and you do all the stuff that people do. When you get born again, your spirit man, I'm not saying your flesh, your spirit man does not want to do that anymore. They will still invite you. Now there will be a dichotomy of some sort. Your spirit says, no, no, we are not going. But your flesh will say, will there be whiskey there? Will it be cold? Your flesh is still considering going back. Your spirit says, no, I am now recreated in the image and in the likeness of God. I am now a child of the Most High God. God is holy. Anything unholy, I don't want to do. That's your spirit. Now, in between your spirit and your body, your body is the one outside with which you contact the physical realm. This realm, this material realm. You can slap somebody. That's from your body. I can touch this lectern. That's with my body. All right? But with my spirit, I contact God. And I contact the realm of the spirit. All right? Then there is one other realm. Very important. That's my soul. With my soul, that is in between, I can contact the mental realm. Mental realm. Somebody say mental realm. And that realm is very important. Some people, that's all they know. And they've done amazing things in the world. They don't know about the spirit. It's just about the soul, the mental realm. And they've come up with amazing innovations and all kinds of things. In the university, when they teach you architecture, accounting, law, and all of those things, the things you didn't know 5 years ago, now you're in final year, you know a whole lot. You know what has happened? They have loaded your mental realm with a lot of information. And you know that's amazing. Have you heard of AI? Have you heard of AI? AI is in the mental realm. It's in the mental realm. And people are doing amazing things now with AI. You can now clone your voice. You can now do all sorts. In fact, when you search certain things on Google now, AI will give you a suggestion first, AI overview, including when you search scriptures. It will try and tell you something about the scriptures. All sorts of things have been done. Robots, get ready. There will be more robots in the days to come. Some of our airports are going to be fully digitalized, and people will lose their jobs because robots will be taking charge. And you don't pay them salary, and they don't complain. Mental realm. That realm is very powerful. That realm is divided into three compartments. The mind, the will, and the emotions. And each of them on its own is powerful. When you make up your mind, listen, to do anything, when your mind is really made up, you will do that thing. That's how powerful the mind can be. You are here tonight because you made up your mind to be here. Wasn't convenient for some of you. You traveled several miles to be here. Traveled very far to be here. In the sweat, in the sun, you had to spend money. It was inconvenient. Some of you drove yourselves and it was not easy. You just had to do it because you made up your mind. I don't want to dwell too much on that. Now you have the will, which is also another powerhouse. The will is so strong, you don't know how strong it is until it clashes with the will of God. My popular example, God said to Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, go and preach there. Those people are living in sin. I want them to repent. Jonah said, I am not going. He got a ticket, got a visa, and moved on his way to Tarshish until he got swallowed by fish and he had to go to Nineveh eventually because he spent about 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. When the fish spat him out, he was in Nineveh, and then he went to preach. And even after the people repented, he was still fighting God. I knew it. I knew when they repent, you will forgive them. You are a prophet of God. You wanted them to perish? I mean, you can imagine the will. And then you have the emotions. Very powerful as well. Now, your spirit was saved the day you gave your life to Christ. Listen to this. Your spirit man, the innermost being, the innermost you, came in contact with God. The light of God came into your spirit. You got saved. Your soul was not saved. Your soul started a journey of being saved. And that journey is still ongoing. Are you with me, church? Your body on the outside was not saved at all. But the day of the Lord, on the day of the Lord, you will drop it. You will get the heavenly body. That's when it will be saved. Now, if you allow the soul, which is in the process of being renewed or being saved, to rule and to dominate your life, you will make a lot of errors. Because when God wants to talk to you, he's not going to talk to your soul. God is going to talk to your spirit. If you allow your body, which is on the outside, to rule your life, you will be in a lot of trouble, a lot of mess. Because you see, this body is not born again and is not planning to be born again. Are you getting what I'm saying? When people are body ruled, they are called carnal people. They may be Christians. Oh yeah, they are born again. But it's their body that is ruling them. They are carnal Christians. And when you are a carnal Christian, your body tells you, I don't want to listen to the word of God. Boom. You don't want to listen. I don't want to fast. You don't fast. I don't want to pray. I want to sleep. You sleep. You have been carnal. So let's look at the saving of the soul. And then look at how we present our bodies to the Lord. And then we close it for tonight. Glory to God. I have 20 minutes. Okay. Now go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's see what is happening with our soul. James chapter 1 and verse 18. I'm going to take it 18 to 21. James 1, 18. Of course, we know 17, which is quite popular, and I quote that a lot. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom there is neither shadow of turning. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. All right? We got born again with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Next verse. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Be slow to get angry. Next verse. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And he wrote these to Christians, to believers. Oh, I thought their souls were saved. No. Their spirits were saved. And he was telling them, receive God's word with meekness, with humility of mind. Receive it like you need this badly and your life depends on it. Because that word is able to save your soul. How can the word save my soul? Okay, the first thing is, what can save my soul? The word of God. He said it clearly here. He said that word is able to save your soul. He didn't say it will automatically save your soul. It has the ability, if you yield to it, now that is able to save your soul, does not mean it's going to save your soul. If you don't yield to it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? I mean, you may have money. Can money feed you? Yes, it can. If you spend it. You know, there are people that have money and they're miserly. Even to themselves. You're hungry like this. There's money in your account. You say, no, I won't touch it. I want free food. I want free food. Today, free food. And nobody calls you. Nobody buys free food. You are going to be hungry. And when hunger resets your head, you will eventually go and buy that food. The word of God is available. Can it save your soul? Does it have the ability to save your soul? Come and talk to me, church. Yes, it does. But if you don't yield to the word, if you don't open it to read and feed on it and meditate on it, you can be in the church 20 years and you will not change. 25 years and you'll be the call girl you used to be, the prostitute you used to be, the smoker you used to be. There are many people in church today unsaved in the church. And they will tell you, I was one of the first set of people that laid the foundation stone of this church. I've had terrible stories. I was there when Baba Debe was laying the foundation of Redemption Camp. You were there. But how come? Look at your life now. I've had somebody say, when did you join Stone Church? We knew when you joined our church, when you joined Stone Church. Who are you now to be telling me because you're a pastor? We were with Brother Alex before he became Pastor Alex. Brother Alex from Full Gospel. Then we moved to Omega Building in Favors. You know Favors? And then from there to number 14 on Shitoku. Before we acquired Mokola. Beautiful stories. But sir, you are still drinking beer. We were the foundation members of the Shekinah Stones, the drama ministry. Ask Philip. I slapped him one day when we were doing drama. Somebody told me that before. And he has a wife at home. He's carrying girlfriends all over the place. Not taking care of his wife and children. Living a riotous life. What a story. To be under this kind of grace, this kind of ministry, this kind of anointing. Pure. Pure from the source. And you are still drinking beer and you are carrying girlfriends all over the place. Sunday after Sunday, and you come to church. You don't find such people at Bible study, anyways. It's rare. Because Bible study takes a little more from you. It will take away your comfort. It will disrupt your program. I mean, you all had a choice tonight to just, even me, I asked myself, I said, can we just do online Bible study? That one is very convenient. Can we just change Bible study to online? If I said that on Sunday, you would see the response of the church. Because they are more than you. Those who don't come to Bible study are more than those of you who come. If I throw it open, well, church, I'm thinking, should we migrate our Bible study to MixLR? Let's just be doing online. Just listen. Oh, Pastor, God bless you. I've been waiting for that. I really love to hear the word of God. Now lie. We are doing prayer now, MixLR, every Tuesday in the morning and in the evening. When I led the first two weeks, I saw the statistics. Impressive. When other people took over from me, I still see the statistics. Not impressive. So I cannot trust what is going on online. If we migrate Bible study to online, in the beginning, it will be impressive. But after a while, it will start dwindling. Somebody will say they are in Bible study, but they are eating. They are in Bible study, but they are in the kitchen. Ah, Pastor, preach. Those ones are still trying. After a while, you don't know who is there. It's online. You don't know who is not there. Backsliding will begin to set in because even nature abhors vacuum. If you are not moving in, moving on, and moving up, you'll be moving back, and moving down. Nobody stays static in the realm of the spirit. It's either you are making progress or you are backsliding. That's why I encourage. Let's press into God. Let's press on more. Press on some more. Come up hither so we can see. So the saving of the soul is a process. Where I am today, I didn't get here in one day, I must tell you. And I've told you time and time again, when I joined this church, for example, as a fresh guy, I was a little bit rotund. I was slim, but I liked my stature at that time. I had just a little flesh. And then I was exposed to fasting. They announced 15 days fasting and prayer. I said, what? They want to kill somebody here? 15 days fasting and prayer. I'd never done that before in my life. Now, In the church I was coming from, we had done what they call biribiri before. Biribiri is a marathon fast. You won't break. My pastor was an evangelist. He could do 3 days, 7 days. He now made the church do 3 days, and he said, I must be there. I almost died. I'm telling you, I almost saw death like this the second day, day two. They had to prepare tea for me. My tongue became bitter, like I had malaria. I could not move again. I could hardly talk. I was just on one spot. And look, I wasn't praying. I was just looking at the time. Alpha, please go. Time, please. Fast forward. Since that time, I never tried it again. Until I joined this church. So when I joined this church, well, the fast was a little easier because you were breaking the evening. But it wasn't easy because it was elongated. 15 days. 2 weeks. Ah! Somebody will die. I said, no. So I started. I tried. Day one, day two, day three. Come on. Day three like this. Share about what man. Who's there about there? I broke at about maybe 3 o'clock. Ah, I can't come and go and die. Then I had a comrade. We were both in Shikana Stones. My comrade. We used to go around together that time. I said, oh boy, Alpha. Is that me too? Well, they should also give me some wraps. Because I went to a canteen. I said, I want to eat a bar. He said, the church is fasting. Mama, give me 4 wraps there. Put 2 meat. Alpha, guy. He said, I affected him. The guy, the two of us ate a bar. After eating a bar, somewhere around Mokola Barracks, we came to church for prayer in the evening. Our voices were the loudest. Gasakataya, Buriakata, Gekoko, Eba. Eba was talking. The real people that fasted were more humble. But when you really fast, it's not easy to cry like that in the place of prayer. Well, you'll be tired. The brain, oh, Stepha, hush, labor. We were walking, it was in this hall. We were walking up and down. People were looking at us. These guys are vibrant. These are the future of the church, the youth. Eba. That fasting, I tried, we tried until 15 days. Some days I didn't fast at all. So my first fast, we can say maybe, if you put it together, you know, when you put half plus quarter, everything, maybe like 7 days. I said, okay, after we finished, they said, tomorrow, everybody can have breakfast. That was January. I didn't know they would do it again in July. So in July, when the announcement was made again, I said, what kind of church is this? The one we fasted in January, I'm yet to recover my stature. Now I'm about recovering. They will take it away now from me. I was bothered. I must tell you, I'm being honest. I was bothered. So I tried again. We used the same style. We even used to do drama. We used what we used to do in secret to do drama in church. And the church was laughing. They didn't know it was real. And as the Holy Spirit would catch us, it was the two of us they casted to play the role. I was eating in the drama. On this stage, the pulpit was there then, not here. On this stage, I was eating. So the guy knocked, you know, in stage drama, you knock with the mouth, ko, ko, ko. So I put the food under my, I began to pray. Then the guy entered. Say, oh boy, how far? Shalaba, ba, ba, ba. He said, I can smell something here. What are you smelling? The only thing here is prayer. Oh boy. Even your mouth smell fish now. I said, I don't know. Alpha. Mommy said, I want chop. So we brought it out and we ate. So we went to pray in the evening. In the drama, our voices were the loudest. From a bar. When the pastor later caught us, I said, but brothers, why did you do this? You know, pastor like OJ. Why? Why would you do that? You know, it's not scriptural. That is not nice. You are children of God. I said, pastor, but if you see Banco, that the fasting wanted to turn to malaria. Have you fasted before and you felt like you had malaria? When you go to the toilet to wee, is urine is yellow. But you know what is happening actually? Your fast is helping you to detox. It's helping you to detox. Medically speaking, fasting is even good for your brain. And it's good for the body. Anyways, those were my beginning days in the church. I gave you that story to let you know that I didn't get hair overnight. It's been over time. I had a few other things that I am not delighted to share that were struggles when I joined. But I cried to God at some point. God, help me. We cannot continue to be like this. Because it will mean that in church, we have one face. Outside church, another face. You know what began to happen to me? The saving of the soul. The Holy Spirit began to affect my mind, my will, and my emotions. My mind, what I was thinking, my thought life. It began to recalibrate and reset my head. My thinking began to change. As I came to church, time and time, now, I give this to myself. Every time the church opened, I was here. I did not know how to be at home on a Sunday morning. Except one time, I was backsliding. And I knew, this is a big sign. Oh boy, you are backsliding. And I came back again crying to God. And you know, God, with open arms, he received me. He was working also in my will. I could be very, until now, I can be very self-opinionated. But he began to break me, help me to adjust. Help me so that when my will clashes with his will and I know, Father, this is your will. I feel like slapping this guy. But the word of God says you have to forgive. Why? Make I show him. Say myself, go. People say, I walk bad. Boy, make bad to me. I've never cursed myself. I mean, go bad, go. Go get the only. If you go show bathroom, bad boy, carry. No, normally, you know, as a Bokola boy that I was, back in the day, you can't cheat me, oh. You know, I'm very tall. So people like us, normally, people want to cheat. Me, only bafwe. The way I was trained to fight, even if you could beat me, you would be tired. I would not let you go until you beg me. You know, as a powerful person, you can beat somebody, but if the person does not let you go, after a while, you'll be tired and you'll be begging. That's when I will now beat you or injure you. Make sure that something happens. You can't injure me and go away. If blood comes out, when I was growing up, if you injure me and blood came out, I will bring blood out of your body too. You can't go. Go, okay. I had one stubborn friend in Mokola. Growing up, Abu, we were playing football one day. A local dog came out. And we had some of those local dogs on the street. The thing just ran and then bit the guy on the thigh. Oh boy! As the thing turned, we ran. Oh, Abu did not run. He was one of my mentors. He ran after the dog. He hit the dog. Guess what? He beat the dog back. Abu. Omofulani. The dog was crying. He didn't let go. When he released the dog, come and see speed. That dog was looking back as was running. I've never seen a human being like, is this a human being? So those were the kind of boys I grew up with. And then growing again, becoming a teenager, you see our big brothers, they will smoke from the mouth, smoke will come out from the nose. And you know, you were looking forward to growing up and becoming something like that until I found Christ. So my soul needed a lot of help. A lot of help. Because you can't bring all of that. We can't even talk about certain things from the pulpit. I'm telling you. So it's been a journey. And the psalmist said in Psalm 23 and verse 3, he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. The word restores there is the same word, even though that's Hebrew, the same meaning that Paul used in Romans 12 and verse 2, talking about the renewing of your mind. The same word. So the restoration of your soul is equal to the renewing of your mind. In Romans 12, 2, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you, verse 1, first of all, that you present your bodies. Can you put that on the screen, please? Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, renewed, restored by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is that thing that can transform the soul of a man, that can renew the soul of a man, or restore the soul of a man? The word of God. As you get exposed to the word, some things will start dropping off in your emotions. If you used to have an emotional roller coaster, you're up today, you're down tomorrow. I battled that too. I was very stubborn. I could wake up in the morning and all day I was moody for no reason. Not talk to anybody, not wanting to talk to anybody, not wanting to associate with anybody. I will go to church and I will not laugh. My pastor got bothered. He called me one day and said, "What's your problem, this boy? One moment you are the sweetest boy around. Someone everybody loves to be with." And I have that thing. People normally just naturally want to play with me. But sometimes. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And my pastor said to me, he said, "I will do something that will pain you in the future. When you get to the future, when you remember, your head will be correct." It was meant to send me to a school where I would learn to play the keyboard. I was one of the very few youth in church. I was very active. I was the one writing the title of the sermon, the name of the preacher, the text. We had a record for the church. I was the one filling that record every Sunday. Offering that came in, tithe that came in, whatever did not come in, everything. I would come and clean the church early in the morning, only me. My mother would pound yam, I'll bring to the pastor, then go back home to eat mine and get dressed and come to church. I'll beat the drums. We didn't have drum set like this. Yeah, but we had agbamole. We had that one. Bang, bang, boom, bang, 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 boom, bang, bang, boom, 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 bang, boom, back to back. So I was all of that. But sometimes I would just be moody. I couldn't explain it myself. Maybe they would have helped me if somebody knew better. But they just saw that, "What's wrong with this boy?" So the man did not send me to school to go and learn keyboard. Now I don't know how to play keyboard. And anywhere I go and I see a keyboard, I like it. It's still paining me till now. And the man said, "It will pain you in the future." Me, I will not do that to another person. All right? I won't pass that on to the next generation. But those were things to deal with. When you are moody and you can't explain it, you're just not happy. It's not a good thing. Sometimes it comes because there's a sense of foreboding. You just feel something bad is about to happen. And some of us, we pride ourselves in our dreams. You always have bad dreams. And you are proud of it. You see, "My dreams, they come true. Timbala la woman share." One woman told me recently, "If somebody died in my dream, only God can save the person." I said, "Your dream is demonic. Why don't you have good dreams?" You know what? That person needs their soul to be saved. It's not a good soul. You always say bad, bad things. Why can't you imagine good things? The devil is giving you pictures and you are happy. Man say, "Oh, if I dream, if somebody dies like this, they will die. Oh boy, you need help." And the help you will get is from the word of God, the engrafted word. You need to receive it with meekness so that it will save your soul. Our soul is being saved. I will stop here by encouraging you. Pay attention to the word of God. Open it every day. Is part of the process of renewing your mind. See, when your mind is renewed, it will be easy for the Spirit of God to lead you. A renewed mind is one that doesn't argue with God. Even though God will speak to your spirit will transfer the information to your soul. Your soul will not bounce it back if it is renewed. If it is not renewed, it will bounce it back. Today, as I was coming to church, I went somewhere, I didn't drive, in a taxi. And somehow, I was with a Muslim woman. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, show her the kindness of God. Ah, okay. I had some money in my pocket, but I had budgeted what needed to get me to church from where I was coming from, quite far. Show her the kindness of God. So I paid my fare, she paid her fare. I saw that when she brought out the money, she was even asking me for the transport fare. I didn't know me. If not that, those mechanics that God needs to lay hands on them. Or maybe I need new cars myself. When last did I enter public transport like this? I would know. In fact, that place was very far. That I would know how much they charge. But all of that was going on in my mind. So I said, madam, I'm sorry, I don't know. What she paid looked like her last card. From the way, from her body language. And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, show her the kindness of God. So I said, if I show her now, like if I give her money now, what if she says, me, I don't want money because these are the days that there are Yahoo people all over the place. Maybe the money they give you now, it will not be sucking your blood. What if she? So I was checking my spirit. I wanted that inward witness to lead me. Lord, is this you? Because it wasn't my plan. It wasn't my plan. It's not that if I give her the money, I will die. I will not die. There's no amount of money I give anybody that I will die. But I wanted to check. As we're about to get to our bus stop, it came again very strong this time. And I know when God is leading me and I'm about to disobey, it will be very strong. Very strong that if I eventually disobeyed God, I'll lose my peace. Not that God will kill me. We are all in the process of learning these things. So I'm sharing with you a practical example today. Just 1 minute for us to get to our final destination. I just gave her some money. I said, madam, this is for you. The excitement, the way she took the money. She took it. Thank you, sir. And all of that, you know. I said, thank you, Jesus. When we got down, I saw her walking towards the place where they were selling food. Maybe she didn't have something to eat. She was coming from a hospital. I was coming from a hospital too. I wasn't sick. I have a family member in the hospital, so I went to see the person. Spent some time with them to take care of them. I said, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I obeyed you. I don't always get it right every time. I don't mind. In this series, I will share with you personal examples where I failed, where I got it right. So that will help you. So that if you too fail, you will say, I will kill myself. Don't kill yourself. Get up. Get up. Move again. Go at it. Let God lead you this time. You are going to come out of error. Look, if you kill yourself, you will not have the opportunity to share your testimony. Are you getting what I'm saying? What's the meaning of testimony? Testimony. Amen. Praise God. Is you see, it's after you have overcome it that it becomes a testimony. Does anybody share failure? Praise the Lord, church. As I am right now, I'm bedwetting, but I know that God will help me. Who shares that? Nobody. But when you have overcome, you can say, in the last 1 year, I have, that thing was, in fact, I can't tell you the detail, but it was something I was dealing with. But God has delivered me. Amen. Don't say, well, you didn't tell us now. It's my testimony. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are in the heat of a problem, a challenge, and you swallow a pill and you kill yourself, you know what you have done? You are in chapter 15. But your testimony is supposed to be shared in chapter 25. And now you have killed yourself in chapter 15. In fact, testimony might be in chapter 16. The testimony of Samaria is it 1 Kings or 2 Kings now? Help me, Holy Ghost. Chapter 6 and chapter 7. When the man of God gave the prophecy that tomorrow, about this time, media should be working on that, shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel at the gate of Samaria, and 2 measures of barley shall be sold for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. And a man on whose hand the king leaned said, no way, it doesn't happen that way. Even if God were to make windows in heaven, might this thing be? The man of God. Why are you lying like that? 2 Kings chapter 7. Because media was still struggling with it. 2 Kings 7. And Elisha had no chill. He said to that man, it will happen. You will see with your eyes, but you won't eat it. The testimony was going to be in the next chapter. One day, the whole land was in famine. Elisha spoke by the word of God. He said, hear ye the word of the Lord. He didn't say, hear the word of Elisha. This word came from heaven. My spirit man opened up and received it. Tomorrow, about this time. Tomorrow. If you kill yourself tonight, you won't see tomorrow. A child of God does not need to get to a situation where you want to kill yourself. You want to commit suicide. For what? I've been there before twice. Very stupid. I thank God I'm not stupid anymore. I told God, kill me. Kill me. What are you doing with my life? Kill me now. If he had heard, oh, yeah, die. Come on. I would don't buy. And I would never have met you guys. Beautiful people. Don't kill yourself. In being led by the Spirit, sometimes we miss it. God never misses it. We do. But even when you miss it, get up. It's like the GPS system. It's telling you in a quarter mile, make a left turn at the next exit. And then you didn't make a left turn. You missed that turn. It won't say, oh, no, you're so stupid. Oh, you're so dumb. What am I going to do with you? No. It will recalibrate. Still trying to help you get to your destination. And the Holy Spirit is more perfect than the GPS. Can I have an amen? Amen? Stand on your feet, everybody. Have you been blessed? Next week, we will have Encounter Night. And I want to encourage each of you to come. It's always our gym. That's our spiritual gym. Konde Brahale. Stufre, Mazdi, Stafa, Stile, Gande. That's where we pray in the Holy Ghost and we build strength. All right? Now, the week after will be the first Thursday in March. I'm going to resume this topic. And I would show you how to present your body. You know, Paul said we should present our bodies. I'll show you how to present your body. Then I will start the inward witness. Same day, by the grace of God. So presenting your body, maybe about 15 minutes of my time or 20 minutes. And then we're now going to the inward witness. Hallelujah. The Lord Jesus said to Papa Kenneth E. Hagin, listen, church. He said, I will not, the last time he appeared to him, he said, I will not appear to you like this physically anymore. He said, but I will lead you like I'm leading the rest of the church. And the number one way is through the inward witness. Listen, he said, if you follow the inward witness, that's the means through which I lead. I, the Lord Jesus, will make you rich. If he said I will make you rich, it also means I will make you prosperous. Amen? It means you will get your healing like a knife through butter. Your promotion will come easy. Anything you want, if you will follow the inward witness, you will not walk into trouble. Can I have an amen? Amen. Thank you, precious Father. Can you lift your hands tonight and just bless his name? Thank him for the inspiration for this Bible study tonight. I've been personally blessed sharing this with you. If you have been blessed, thank him. He's the owner of the word. He's the giver of the word. Lord, I am particularly grateful because I believe in my spirit that I was able to align with your thoughts. And I'm grateful that these were not my thoughts, but your thoughts. And that you gave me your precious thoughts. Lord, I'm grateful. Thank you. Thank you for thinking through my mind. Thank you for speaking through my lips. Thank you for using this earthen vessel to show the excellency of the power, which is not mine, which is not of me, but of you. It's your power. It's your virtue. Thank you, Lord. I'm grateful that through this broken vessel, you could shine your light. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm grateful. Thank you. Thank you for blessing your church. Lord, as we depart tonight, Lord, let these words remain in the hearts of your children. I rebuke Satan, who cometh immediately to steal the word, that he will not be able to steal the word from the hearts and the minds of your children, including those watching and listening online in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, but your word will take root in the hearts of your children And we will go ahead and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. But everyone who has heard the word tonight, the word will mix with faith in them, and yea, they will bring forth fruit in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, your children will not forget this in a hurry. This teaching will go with them all their days. And we will be led by your spirit. We will not be led by our brains. We will not be led by technology. We will not be led by friends. We will not be led by the devil. We will be led by your spirit. Ha ha ha. Ah ha ha. We will be led by the Spirit of God. Oh, come on, church. Membrohanda dia labahaya. And I'm praying for all of you, my ladies. You will not miss it when it comes to having a life partner. And I'm praying for all of you, my young men. You will not miss it when it comes to having a life partner. You will be led by the Spirit. You will not be led by money. You will not be led by the natural things. Oh, she's tall, fair, beautiful. She has all the shape. No! You'll be led by the Spirit of God. And you ladies, you'll not be misled. You'll not be misled. You'll not be misled. Oh, is God the kind of education I want? Is God? Is God? This is God. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. When you see him, you will recognize him. When you see your life partner, you will recognize them. And they will be able to recognize you. I don't know why I'm praying in this direction tonight, but I believe that God is doing something and somebody's on the verge of something very great and you will not miss it. In the mighty name of Jesus. As a church, we will not miss out on the move of God. We will not be too slow. We will not be too fast. We'll be in sync with God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen.